Hey, Dr. Borton.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm holding a piece of serpentine, and I heard that's a stone that was in the ground near your hometown, birthplace.
Yeah, Eastern Pennsylvania has a bunch of houses that are made out of serpentine stone, and I was born in Bryn Mawr, which is not far from where that is.
Oh, I thought you were joking that there were houses made out of serpentine.
No. Stone houses, right? Stone houses are made out of whatever stone is around. Brownstone in Troy, there's a lot of that. In eastern Pennsylvania, there's some houses that are made out of serpentine.
Well, I guess when you look at a small piece of serpentine, it's so beautiful. It's a green, speckled but cloudy, and it feels like it has iron in it.
Well, I don't know if it has iron in it. I really don't know that much about it, but one of the things that the serpentine in stone houses has a sort of sparkles because it is a cleaved rock. So the rock was cracked, whereas the rock that you're looking at the moment is polished, and so it's smooth, and so that some of that sparkliness has been taken away.
Well, it's beautiful. I'd like to see some of these serpentine homes. And then when you were a child, you would vacation up in the Adirondacks, right?
Ah, yes, very much so. Pretty much every year of my life, and until I went to college, basically, I spent every summer, all summer, in the Adirondacks.
Was there running water and, was it like a full camp?
Well, we called it pretty posh because what we did from this camp was go out and canoe and hike, backpack, and so we were, living in tents and moving our stuff with our bodies and setting up fires to cook on and all that. And so that the camp that we're talking about now had wooden platforms with the tents that we made, and we had running water because we had a tank on the hill that we filled up, and gravity brought the water down. And there was a kitchen. And when I was little, the kitchen had wood stoves, then it got propane stoves. And when I was little, it had an ice house, and then we got propane refrigeration. And recently, we put in solar photovoltaic electric refrigeration. That's pretty soft in a place that has no road, no electricity, and outhouses.
Wow. So, in my imagination, I'm thinking, was it there when you were just a little tyke that you slept out under the stars and started thinking about how to find meaning in coming into this planet Earth?
Well, the stars weren't quite so much the meaning as sitting around looking at the water and the trees and the ferns and the animals, because there was life spread out in front of me, and that life was basically independent of me. I had a life, and I was with people that had a life, but then the whole forest ecosystem was alive, basically independent of us humans that, come to visit and enjoy nature.
Doesn't that point run contrary to what we're finding out, though, that you actually aren't separate from that ecosystem? Or are you making a different point?
Well, you asked about, how I got into science, and you talked about the stars, and I'd like to sit out under the stars and look at them. But they were sort of far away, and they were suns, and, so they're out there. What was more real to me was what was around me, and what was around me was the forest primeval.
So, I mean, how old were you when you first had a class or opened a book in physics?
Oh, well, okay, the class in physics probably started when I was moving stones as a kid as playing, piling up stones. Because piling up stones means you're doing work and you're doing equilibrium and balance and strength of materials and all those things. And for me, it was just play.
Yeah, but like when did you open up a book and it was like, physics is what runs the universe, and then chapter one, this theory.
Oh, okay. Well, there was something
Or
called
this law, excuse me.
Earth science, and earth science was not so much of a science. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as much science as I would have liked. But then when you got to physics, and physics says, oh, well, here's something of this mass, and here's something of this mass, and how does one move the other, or how does one interact when they hit each other, or that kind of interaction. I'd experienced that. So when you talk about levers and you say the force times the distance here equals the force times the distance here, and the work involved is equal, but you can move huge rocks even though you're a small little kid with a lever.
So what was the first law of physics that you feel like you really internalized both in your body and your mind?
Okay, I guess that would have to be work and energy. Well, you're asking me to remember something that I can't remember, so I'm trying to figure out what it
probably... Should I set the scene? There are sparks and embers coming up from the fire. I'm trying to set an Adirondack scene to get you to remember.
Well, if you bring...
Partially because I want to be in the Adirondacks.
If you bring up fire, then what comes to my mind is the work involved in getting firewood. Because, first of all, you have to know what is good firewood and what is not. You don't want to take a wet balsam log and try to burn it. And if you happen to find some balsam that's very dry, that's good for starting a fire, but it's not good for keeping a fire going. You want to find a nice hardwood that's dry to keep a fire going. So if you call that physics, that's a very basic thing that I started early.
Well, and obviously the study of physics involves math. So did it so happen that when you entered your first formal physics class, I'm assuming in high school, that you had already been quite the whiz in math, that you like were drawn to math class and that you really liked it and were high achieving?
Well, all I can say is that math is easy. It's very straightforward. 1 + 1 = 2, and 2 × π is this number that's pretty close to some other number. So yeah, math is easy and certainly part of physics. And later on, when you're doing advanced physics, it's very nice to do advanced math at the same time, because the math and the physics go hand in hand, and you can understand the math better if it's related to a physical problem. Like, for instance, do you know what a gradient is?
Well, sometimes it'll say, you know, steep gradient. Careful where you're walking or rollerblading.
Right. Well, gradient is a mathematical term. It's a derivative of some function with respect to some variable, and it can have multiple variables. And so in physics, that is very basic to things like gravitational fields. And so the math and the physics go together, so it helps you understand both.
Cool. Could you just tell us about that first physics class? What was it like? Do you remember?
Well, some of the first physics class was this guy that's, you know, up there sort of talking with a dry sense of humor. And I like that about science. You can be humorous about it. And he would say things like, this is hot. And he would touch something and you could tell it was hot. Or this has electricity in it. And a spark would come out and you could see and hear the spark. He said, now this is a wheel that generates static electricity by separating charge. Wow, who knew? Separating charge. Okay, that's pretty cool. That's what runs our bodies, right? And our minds and all that stuff. And so here was this machine that you turned a wheel, and by moving different insulators with respect to each other and connecting them with conductors, you could get very high voltages and generate really big sparks. And you did that by putting work into this wheel, and you got electrical work out of it. Cool.
Really cool.
So there are multiple ways of doing that. And what I was just talking about was static electricity, and then you move on to electromagnetism, and that's where you put work into moving a coil with respect to a magnet, and that generates electricity, moving electricity energy. And it's the flows of energy in the world that keep us alive. And so to understand these flows of energy, either as a kid piling up rocks or flows of energy that are causing climate change in the planet, you know, it's all energy.
Well, do you have any advice to a student who, or a young person who's out, you know, chopping wood and getting curious about the laws that, you know, allow heat conduction to happen or allow for gravity to keep us magnetized to the planet?
Well, stay curious about your subjects, because if you're curious about math and science, physics, chemistry, biology, you're going to have a good time and you're going to learn a lot.
Well, thank you, Dr. Borton.
Megan, it's always a pleasure.